SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Here on this Friday, May 6th, 2022. I'm Craig Mish with you here on Sports Grid. It's been great to be with you this morning. We've got an hour of fantasy sports talk. Our buddy Gray Albright is going to be with us coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll play a little buy or sell with some fantasy baseball performances this season. And also we'll talk some dynasty fantasy football, talk about some rookies, some comparisons as well. And we also have a treat for you here on this Friday because Davis Maddock is off to his bachelor party playing golf this weekend. We wish him all of the best this weekend. Davis, well-deserved day off here on the show. But that, of course, means that George Kurtz is in the house with me here on this Friday as George and I get to reminisce about days past and talk about days in the future with fantasy sports. George, it's great to be with you. What's going on?
What's going on indeed? Golf. Is that what Davis was trying to sell here that he's doing for the weekend? Going golfing on his bachelor party. Good for him. It's actually the same thing I did, by the way. Golf and cards. Right. That's what I did for mine. So, Davis, hope you're having a great time there. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, our producer, Brett Levy, also tried to sell us on some very tame bachelor party stories, too.
Yeah.
That we sort of lived
liars.
With. We didn't do a fantasy reality on that one, I think. But George, before we get to the headline, and it's going to be the top story, I think, in all of sports today. Of course, we have two NBA games, which no doubt are very important tonight, which we will get to a little bit later in the show. And you and I will talk some hockey as well. But my gosh, that comeback last night for the New York Mets, like shades of 1986 all over again, Magic Mets. I don't know. I mean, is this more of a Philly issue or just the fact that the Mets are good? I feel like that's like a huge baseball story today.
And you know, it's funny. Obviously, I live in New York. I have lots of Met fans, but they're still not buying in yet, right? They're still remembering of, other hot starts to the season. But this one feels different. This one feels different for the Mets. They're doing this with good, solid pitching. They didn't get it last night. Obviously, Taijuan Walker didn't do all that well. But Scherzer looks good. He looks like he's involved. He's angry. Good for him there. I think the best thing that could happen to the Mets, by the way, is DeGrom being out. Because assuming he comes back healthy, they only need him for 20 starts, 22 starts, and then the playoffs. That'd be great for him, right? Because I don't think he could ever make 32 plus the playoffs. So that's good news. They're hitting big comebacks. Not the first time they've had the maybe not this big a comeback, but not the first time they've had a big comeback late here. Probably a combination of the Mets and Phillies. That's a pretty big implosion by the bullpen, Corey Knebel there. I mean, I'm watching the game. It's 5-0 Philly. I'm like, all right, this game's over. So, checking over to other games here. Right. You come back with 9 things. Like, what happened here? Good with Buck Showalter. He's got this team heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Mets are playing great baseball. One of the best records in the major leagues. Let's get to our headlines here on the show on this Friday because we got a lot to cover. Mets come back from 6-0 in the night to beat the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies, of course, had those previous issues with their bullpen. I thought that they had that fixed, but Corey Knebel was part of that yesterday, too. Boy, Joe Girardi is taking some heat from the fans in Philadelphia, no doubt about that. Shohei Ohtani dominates on the mound. The Angels beat the slumping Boston Red Sox, two teams going in different directions. Angels look like a great chance for the postseason. Red Sox, my gosh, one of the more disappointing teams in baseball thus far. Colorado Avalanche, as expected, take a 2-0 series lead after beating Nashville. And in the NBA, Joel Embiid is listed out for Game 3, but his status could still change. George, this is not like an NBA story. This is more of like an NBA injury story at this point. In most sports, when a player is listed as out, they are out. But for whatever reason, what's happening in the NBA, I don't know how closely you're following this, is that they're listing players out, but they still have a chance to play. So I don't like this one bit about the NBA. That is my problem. But Miami tonight will take on Philadelphia. They have a 2-0 series lead. But isn't that like something that happened in the past, though, George? Like when you were out, that was it. Like in the NFL, they list you as out. You're not playing. But in the NBA, like they're still giving you a chance.
First thing I thought of was that Roger Goodell would have a heart attack. All right, he'd have a heart attack with us. You'd be getting fined up the wazoo here. Isn't that why we have doubtful? I mean, isn't that why we have doubtful? You're doubtful. Why can't you just say you're doubtful? Out means you're out. The word means out. You're not playing. Doubtful means you're most likely not to play. So I'm surprised they just don't use the word doubtful. I don't know what Stern, if he's okay with it. I mean, in this day and age with, what we do, betting being so pro, everyone's doing it. We need truth here. They lie to us anyway about the injury and how long the people are going to be out for. Now you're lying about whether or not he might even play that night. Frustrating, to put it nicely.
Yeah, for sure. What's your takeaway from the first few days of the Stanley Cup playoffs thus far?
I mean, it's been exciting. It's been fun. My first guess is when you look at the teams, so many goalie situations that you're like, wow, we're down to third string goalies, Pittsburgh, right? Jarry's out, broken foot, and then DeSmith gets hurt. Now we're down to Louis Domingue, Carolina, Soros with the high ankle sprain. Poor David Rittich gets lit up like a Christmas tree. 5 goals on 13 shots. We're down to third string and Connor Ingram, Carolina, right? Kochetkov comes in out of nowhere. Who knew about Kochetkov? I did not know about Kochetkov, okay? Not till about 2 weeks ago when Ferriganson went out. But Ferriganson's out. Ranta gets hurt. Kochetkov comes in and makes 25 saves here. I think goalies, the fact that these just the injuries, by the way. There are other teams going to backups that really
Right.
don't have goalies. This has been the weirdest playoff season as far as goaltending for me that I can remember in quite some time. I can make an argument that 10 of 16 teams don't really have all that great a number one goaltender.
Yeah, well, usually that's the team that wins the cup. So we're going to find out that in the coming weeks. Of course, George will be with us later today on Newswire. We'll take a deeper dive into the wagering options in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. But coming up next, our buddy Gray Albright from Razzball will join us. Talk about some buy or sell options, hot starts to the fantasy baseball season. We'll dive into some NFL and some NBA, no doubt. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid. Today, George Kurtz is in for Davis Maddock. Of course, I am Craig Mish. Every day, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern. That's when we're talking fantasy sports right here on Sports Grid. So stay on the grid because coming up next, the legendary Gray Albright from Razzball joins us here on FST.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. For many years, I have competed in fantasy baseball leagues with our next guest, Gray Albright of Razzball. And for many years, he has smashed me into existence. This is like the first year, I think, that I'm not in a league with Gray or Rudy or someone from Razzball in a long time. I just sort of let it slip by me this year. I think I'm going to get back next year, though, for whatever reason. But Gray, it is great to see you. How are you doing in these leagues this year? I'm curious. I have no evaluation of anyone at Razzball this year because I'm not seeing the standings. So what's going on this year? Very early, but how is it going?
Well, yesterday I had Hunter Green going in all my leagues, so things could be better. Not great. Things are okay. It's been a really weird year because, you know, with the with offense being so far down, I usually punt pitching. So my pitching has been pretty good, but everyone's pitching has been good. So it's really about finding like those few bats that are like really popping right now. So if you have like, you know, a Rizzo or something, then you're doing okay, but you have to have those guys. And like in a lot of leagues, I got, you know, Ronald Acuña Jr., who I love and who I still love, but he's just returning, so it's real early, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, it is really, for sure. It's funny, it's that, you know, watching the Marlins every night, and it's like I see San Diego and I don't, you know, and obviously I'm following the game, but I don't know everyone. It's like Jake Cronenworth, 170. Like, whoa, wait a second here. What's going on? Like, you know, Profar, 150. I'm like, wait, whoa. What's going on in baseball this year? Every guy's batting under 200. And so it makes, I guess, some of the teams, you know, fantasy teams a little different. One of those guys you mentioned that is popping for sure, 9 home runs, leads the major leagues, is Anthony Rizzo of the New York Yankees. The Yankees just had an 11-game winning streak, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, you got to say that he's probably one of the main reasons why. I mean, Judge has been great too, make no mistake about it. But, you know, his on-base percentage solid, 9 home runs, 21 RBIs. I don't know where these steals are coming from. Is Rizzo going to steal like 6 bases this year? That's crazy. Look, the Yankees did not – I mean, the Yankees signed him late, Gray. It's not like they were like, oh, we need to get Anthony Rizzo back this offseason. It was sort of like, all right, we didn't get anyone else to play the position. We'll play Anthony Rizzo. But meanwhile, with the way right field is in New York, it seems like he's been a good proposition for the first month of the season. Are you buying this the rest of the way? Is he back to what he was in his heyday with the Cubs?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say that, you know, I think the Yankees at first were thinking Luke Voit. And then And, you know, got Rizzo, so they Luke Voit became unnecessary for them. You know, it's interesting because Rizzo really, like, in retrospect, you look at him and you're like, well, that guy's made perfectly for Yankee Stadium. The short porch and his swing and where he hits the ball more often than not, it's like, how did we all not realize this in the preseason, that he's going to have a career year in power? Honestly, you know, it's still early, like we said before, but I'd be shocked if he doesn't, you know, have, you know, 35 homers, which would be a career year for him in homers. I'd be shocked by it because the park is so good for him. Now, he hits a lot of fly balls. His launch angle is pretty pronounced this year, which is good for what he's doing. And you want the power. But he's not going to hit, you know, I'd be surprised actually if he hits higher than 265. Right now he's hitting around 240. And last year he hit around 240. That's kind of who he is now. Unfortunately, he's not really the 270 hitter he once was. He's probably closer to 245. But the power is real. The lineup is great. He could easily have a career year while hitting 245. I totally buy into Rizzo right now in that part for the whole season.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, 240 is like the old 270 now, you know, in baseball this year too. I mean, honestly here, I mean, we're going to talk about three guys hitting 230 and they're having good years. All right, so the Brewers last season acquired Willy Adames. He was like in the MVP conversation, Gray, the last 2 months. He was probably the fantasy MVP in terms of a guy that got traded from one league to the next. And, you know, Tampa Bay got a couple of bullpen guys back. And look, honestly, the reason why the Rays made the trade, they wanted to open up short for Franco. We get that. But, I mean, the Rays could have found something else to do with this guy, I think. They could have played him somewhere else. Inevitably, Adames has 8 home runs, 21 runs driven in. The Brewers are a really good team, Gray, but Adames, you know, his 3 months now with Milwaukee look like he's like an elite player at the position at shortstop. What about him? Is this going to just continue all season?
Yeah, no, I've in the preseason on Razzball, I wrote up a Willy Adames sleeper post because I, you know, and a lot of times, and what I said in there was, you know, during, after the trade, he said he in Tropicana for whatever reason, you know, I don't know, maybe it was the roof, maybe it was the lighting, for whatever reason he didn't like hitting there. And a lot of times, you know, players will have these, you know, things they'll say, like, you know, Yan Moncada every year says, oh, I'm gonna steal 40 bags, like, okay, sure, man. You know, right. The players say a lot of things that aren't always accurate, but Willy Adames, when he said that, it really seemed to click. It made sense, because if he didn't like hitting there and his home and away splits were exactly saying that, he was hitting well in away games last year. And then he went, like you said, he went to Milwaukee and he started hitting and he hasn't stopped. And it was, oh, wow. Like, this really feels accurate. What he's saying, it's not a load. It's really true. He is actually hitting well in Milwaukee, which is, you know, you want a guy, if he's hitting well in his home park, great. That's exactly what you want. And he's probably, I want to say he's a good, like, bet for 30 homers. Like you said, he's hitting 235. So, you know, maybe the batting average isn't going to be great. He does strike out a decent amount. You said earlier with Rizzo, everyone's batting average is going to be bad this year. So whatever.
Right.
But yeah, Willy Adames could go 35, you know, 30 homers, 5 steals, 6 steals. I mean, it's a really nice year for a middle infielder.
Yeah, no, it is. And again, if batting average is going to be where they are, then Adames is a star in the league at this point this year. We have to hope that changes, but the trend is not there, at least through the first month. All right, let's close it out with the Cardinals. And Gray, honestly, with the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, it's been Nolan Arenado and basically everybody else. You know, the fans there, you know, wanting to switch the lineup around, and, you know, Tyler O'Neill's got to go down and Bader's got to go up and this guy's got to do this. They called up Juan Yepez finally, 234 for Bader. He has stolen 6 bases. So this is like the key here. to any fantasy league that still, you know, values steals. Bader has been there. Buying or selling on Bader moving forward? I guess the other numbers are disappointing.
Yeah, no, they are. You know, he's hitting 222, but I think his BABIP's really low. He does, like, he was leading the NL in steals last I checked. That was a couple days ago. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Jazz is now. Yeah.
Okay, so Jazz is. But, yeah, I mean, I think Bader actually, you know, people may not realize this. He's really fast. He has a top 5% sprint speed. So, mm-hmm. The speed's there, so the BABIP should go up, so the average should go up. His Ks are down. I don't know, like, the power is not really there. Like, I would say, for instance, maybe projections on him, 10 homers and 20 steals and a 260 average I think that's his ceiling, but that's not a bad ceiling in today's game if you need steals.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, steals are still impossible to get. And so when you have someone that's doing it, you definitely have to covet that. All right, Greg, give us an idea over at Razzball, what you guys got going on. We got about 20 seconds to go.
Well, we have our fantasy baseball daily tools that anyone can come on and you can get a free trial for 3 days and try them out. It helps you pick which pitchers to stream.
Yeah, the Streaminator, as they call it. All right, great. Thanks again for coming on. We will catch up with you soon. Be well. All right, Gray Albright with us. We'll be right back. More hockey talk and football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, George Kurtz. We have NFL rookie camps opening up next week. So naturally, there's going to be a lot of discussion as to how the first-year players look. Of course, we were just coming off a week ago, George, the 2022 NFL draft. I thought our coverage here on Sports Grid was fantastic. And now we kind of take this to the next level a little bit because, George, as you know, they'll have those OTAs along with some of the rookie camps. And this will be the first time that some rookies will be matched up against some veterans, and certainly playing time will be an issue for these players as the season goes on. So a good exercise today. We'll take a look at some rookies and veterans, but some interesting names, I think, from the draft that came out of this that will affect fantasy football this year too.
Absolutely, right? Probably not the quarterbacks, right? They fell the table there, but wide receivers, some running backs here, but wide receivers were the big thing. And man, Craig, the wide receivers that were traded during the draft, but not Debo.
Yeah.
Right? Marquise Brown goes, A.J. Brown goes, but Debo stays, which is somewhat kind of interesting. But wide receiver getting a lot of play during the last couple of drafts, and that may not change anytime soon, not with the NFL being the passing league that it is.
Yep, for sure. All right, so let's dive in. And speaking of wide receivers, we'll get to that in a minute with Green Bay. Let's start off with the New York Jets, George, because there are two running backs on their roster going into the season that I think are probably both very talented. We're going to pick one here. We're going to ask you to pick one, George. Michael Carter, who I thought looked really good with the playing time that he was given last year. Obviously, is he an every down back? I think that remains to be seen at this point. But when the times he played, he looked pretty dynamic. And then the Jets drafted Breece Hall, who naturally is going to, at the very least, eat into some of this playing time for Michael Carter. But in the end, you're sitting in a fantasy football draft. You can only pick one. Who is it going to be, George, for you in 2022?
Yeah, like everybody else, I thought the Jets had a killer draft. Did a great job, including taking Hall here. I like this move that Jets took Hall. This is not like when you and I were growing up, Hall, in the NFL, Craig, where teams had one running back. Right? One running back. Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Walter Payton's of the world. Most teams now, I'm guessing three quarters, maybe even higher, have two backs. You know, they don't want the one back getting, beaten up all season long, getting 30, 35 carries a game. It doesn't happen anymore. So it doesn't bother me that the Jets have two backs. Your question was, which one would I take first? I'm taking Hall. I think he's the better back than Carter. I certainly think he's the guy longer term here. Carter, I can see, since he had played last year, gets a little bit of the advantage first couple of games. I think Hall's the better talent here. He's the guy I want. I don't think it's cut and dried, where, oh my God, you have to take Hall over Carter. No, I don't think it's that, but I'm going to take Hall over Carter here. But this offense, it's all going to depend on Zach Wilson, Craig. Can he take that next step?
Yeah, no question. That's going to be the whole thing. If people do not trust Wilson, the defenses do not trust Wilson, it won't matter which running back the Jets have because they'll be keying on that player. All right, let's go to the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, of course, in the offseason had to let go. Well, they didn't have to let go. They decided to let go of Davante Adams. He's moved on, got a bigger contract with the Las Vegas Raiders. And what he's left back in return is really not all that much. So, George, the Packers decided, let's draft Christian Watson and make him maybe a starter, maybe a guy who initially comes off the bench. We will have to see. Alan Lazard right now appears to be a starter for the Packers. This will definitely play one way or the other over the course of the season. It's very doubtful to me that both players will have an impact. You can only pick one. Who would it be going into the year?
Yeah, Packers, interesting, right? Their wide receiver depth chart right now is Lazard, Watson, Amari Rodgers, Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb. We know the names, but no one really truly stands out here. Lazard, if you want the safe pick here, I think it's Lazard, right? Because he's the guy, you pretty much know what he's going to do. Rodgers likes him, and he'll have some big plays. Man, he'll probably catch 6 to 8 touchdowns, somewhere in that range there. This is going to be more of a running team, I think, with the two really good running backs they have, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Mm-hmm. Watson is more the upside guy. It used to be for years, forever in the NFL, a wide receiver coming out wasn't going to have that big an impact in his first year. So much to learn here, right? The chemistry with the quarterback, learning the entire route tree. When are you the hot receiver so you don't get your quarterback killed on the blitz here? But now these guys are expected to learn so much so quickly. And I don't know about you, Craig, but I got to think the Packers are still going to add here. Jarvis Landry's still out there. Odell Beckham is still out there. I think these guys were sort of – I know Beckham's coming back from the ACL. I think these guys were also sort of waiting to see what happened in the draft. See if there would be a team that still needs a wide receiver. And Landry would be a really nice possession guy to go to the Packers here. But we don't know that yet. To answer your question, I'm probably going to take the safe route, Lazard, because I think he's going to have a solid season. He's not going to win you a fantasy league, but I think he's going to have a solid season here. So give me Lazard here.
Yeah. Julio Jones still a free agent. Am I right about that?
Julio Jones as well, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't end up in Green Bay, that would be a shock to me. I think that's a good destination for him. Not that he could play anymore, but they'll give him a chance. All right, let's go to quarterback. And, the one quarterback that was taken relatively high in the draft, George, was Kenny Pickett at the University of Pittsburgh. Of course, you become very popular when you're a backup quarterback in the NFL. George, you know that, right? So Mitch Trubisky is now popular because he didn't play last year, but when he did play for the Bears, didn't go very well. What do you make of this situation? Trubisky, Kenny Pickett? I mean, maybe we should throw Mason Rudolph even on this in this conversation too.
No. We're throwing Mason Rudolph out, okay? We're not throwing Mason Rudolph on this conversation. I know Tomlin's going to say all the right things, and I love Mike Tomlin, by the way, probably my favorite NFL coach, a must-watch guy in the press conferences. He'll say all the right things about Pickett. Oh, he's going to compete for a job, blah, 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 blah. And maybe he is, but I think this is Trubisky's job to lose here. I think Trubisky has been a little screwed in his career. He played for a Bears team that really never gave him all that much talent around him. He has a winning record, career-wise. So he's been a decent quarterback. He can run a little bit here, actually run more than a little bit. And he's got good talent here. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool here. Freiermuth, the tight end, looks really good here. Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a two-quarterback league, I want Mitch Trubisky as my second quarterback because I think there is upside here with him. And he's gonna run. This is not a terrible team here. Rough division, but not a terrible team at all here. Give me Mitch, although I'd have some hesitation because what if Pickett does light it up in training camp? I don't see it. I think Trubisky at least starts the season here. But I think Tom will scare you by saying all the right things, but give me Mitch.
All right. And then finally, let's go to the Denver Broncos. Of course, the Broncos made the big trade to acquire Russell Wilson. With that trade at tight end, they sent Noah Fant to Seattle. And boy, Denver really, seemingly is going to have a nice opportunity here for some tight end. We saw Albert O play pretty well for them down the stretch. And then they also drafted Greg Dulcich from UCLA. And I, George, transparently don't know a ton about this kid. So, I mean, is this Albert O's job to lose? Is Albert O going to deliver the numbers we thought Fant would in Denver?
You know, it's funny. I didn't think the Broncos would draft Dulcich or a tight end or a top tight end for that matter, because AO is pretty good. He is pretty good, and most of us had him ranked. Okay, Noah Fant's been traded. He's gone to Seattle. AO could be a top 10 tight end. I'm not talking Travis Kelce, you know, George Kittle, Mark Andrews. I know I left somebody out too. I'm not talking about top tight end, but top 10 guy here. Tight end is generally weak in fantasy. We know that. I think he can be in the 8 to 12 range. So drafting Dulcich was a little bit of a surprise for me. I didn't see that coming. He's a big guy, obviously 6'4", 243. Now, maybe they want to go two tight end sets, and that's fine. A lot of teams do that. So I'm taking AO here. He's the guy I want, but I'm not as happy as I was a month ago. You know, I said I thought he was an easy top. I thought it was top 8. Now I probably have more of a top 10 to 12 range, because I think Dulcich will take some time away, some catches away here. Had no problem with AO. I think he's still very good here, but Dulcich will eat into some of his time, especially once he figures out the blocking part of the position.
Gotcha. Loud and clear. All right. So some pretty good opinions going into the best ball season and the fantasy football season. George, as far as the draft overall is concerned, I know you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this all that much, but you mentioned the trades. I mean, is that A.J. Brown trade? Is that like the biggest impact one that you think? And by the way, do you think A.J. Brown potentially has a bigger impact than Tyreek Hill going to Miami, Devontae Adams going to the Raiders? Or there are some that feel that A.J. Brown, that deal makes Philadelphia better than any of those other two trades made, Miami or maybe Las Vegas. I don't know. What do you think?
Devontae Adams, in my mind, is the best wide receiver in the NFL. Go to the Raiders. He does have a pass with Derek Carr, so theoretically they'll be on the same page earlier. But that's going to be the question for me. Yeah, with Devontae Adams, Hill, both Browns, who gets the chemistry the quickest? Yeah, who's hitting the ground running here? We know with Tyreek Hill, maybe chemistry is not all that important. If he gets open in the in open space, he's gone, right? See you next year. No one's catching that guy. I'm still going to go Adams. Adams and Carr, in my mind, that's the duo you want here. I mean, Adams is great. This is not a knock on A.J. Brown. I'm the Cowboy fan. I am not happy about Brown. I'm not happy about the Eagles draft. They had a great draft. And yeah, getting Brown, too, I was like, are you kidding me? But like several teams, well, they're also saying, we're going to find out about Hurts. We're going to find out about Hurts this year. We're giving him the weapons, right? Zach Wilson with the Jets, Tua with Miami. We're giving him the weapons because next year is a strong quarterback year. Watching Todd McShay's very early mock draft for next year, he's got 5 quarterbacks in the top 9. 5 in the top 9. So there's pressure on these quarterbacks to figure it out. And these teams are giving him the weapons. Tyreek Hill to Miami, right? The Jets have loaded up for Wilson, different positions here. Brown to Philadelphia. You can't get it done this year. They won't be in next year for you, not with your original team anyway.
Yep, no doubt. All right, we'll take a quick break here on FST. Coming up next, it's time for Fantasy or Reality, and then we're going to kick it to the Sports Grid 60, so make sure you stay with us. Also coming up later today, 2 o'clock Eastern on Newswire, Ben Stevens takes us through some of the positions in tonight's two-game NBA slate, and also my co-host today, George Kurtz, will join us for our first look at the Stanley Cup playoffs from a betting perspective. Fantasy Reality is next. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. For those of you who are on social media, you want to follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, and information. Of course, picks against the spread on our sports wagering shows. And also, if you have a question that you want us to answer on Fantasy or Reality, just tag us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Before George and I get into some Fantasy Reality, George, we have two young players headed to the major leagues today for two different reasons. First one is going to be Jarren Duran of the Boston Red Sox, who I thought looked pretty good at times for them last year. I think clearly the reason there, George, is for a spark, of which the Red Sox have had none thus far this season. It's been tough for them. And then on the flip side, Carlos Correa, who will be a free agent if he wants to be at the end of the season, he's got an opt-out with the Twins, looks like he could be headed to the injured list. And former number one pick overall for the Minnesota Twins, who's, you know, been okay in the minors at times, you know, probably some people thought he would have been up sooner, but Royce Lewis is going to get his first opportunity with the Twins. So two young players, I think, from a fantasy perspective, daily and season long, who will probably get picked up tomorrow.
I would agree. Shortstop is generally we need them, right? Middle infielder as well here. So Royce Lewis is going to have some play there. And do you worry about Correa now? I don't know about you, Craig. I always worry about batters when they hurt anything with their hands or wrist. Right? I know it'll heal, but will he be that same guy the rest of the season? And you wonder how it's going to affect his opt-out. You know, does he do it now? Does he have to stay in Minnesota for another year, whatever it might be? Duran, I read the same as you, right? That's a team that's what's going on here? Why aren't you hitting? Why aren't you doing anything? They need a spark, and he can play the outfield, and that, you know, Bradley needs to go. I mean, there's nothing he can do there. Probably should have kept Renfro. I didn't understand that trade when you made it. You're still worried about saving money? The Boston Red Sox are worried about saving money? Really? This makes no sense to me. But Duran, he was up first a little bit last year. It was okay, I'd say, about a 215. But I'm interested in him. Outfield, of course I'm interested. We're all interested in outfield. Yeah. There aren't enough to go around here. So, yeah, I've got a big interest in Duran. I've got to claim him in a league or two.
Yeah, fast player too, can steal some bases as well. Bobby Dalbec, 25 home runs last year. This year, don't Google the stats. You're not going to like what you see. All right, time for some fantasy or reality. Let's get it going. All right, we'll get started with the NFL today, George. And as you mentioned, there still are some players that are out there that are free agents. And one of them, of course, is Rob Gronkowski, the multi-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of course, Tom Brady initially retired, and then he came back and said he was going to play this season. But I think, strangely enough, Rob Gronkowski has yet to make a formal decision on what his future will be. Fantasy reality for you, George. Rob Gronkowski, coming up here in 2022, will play for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't think this is strange at all. Not one little bit. What do we know about Rob? He likes to enjoy life, right? Likes to enjoy life. He doesn't want to go to mini camp and all this other stuff he has to do. When's training camp? All right, when's training camp? Late July, August? That's when Rob will be there. He's coming back. I'd be shocked if he doesn't come back. He just doesn't want to go through all the other garbage he has to. All right, he knows time. He knows the system. He'll be there. He'll be there when it matters. He'll be there for training camp. He'll get his contract, make his $10, $12, $14 million a year, whatever it might be. But, yeah, Rob's coming back. I would be shocked if he doesn't. And, Craig, did you see the video that Tom put out yesterday?
I did.
On Twitter? I mean, really? You got to troll the Raiders like that? And, by the way, you know, technically he's wrong. Technically, it was not a fumble. The tuck rule was the rule back then. It's a dumb rule, but it was the rule. It actually was the tuck rule. But really, you got to troll the ref. I like Tom Brady so much more since he got traded out of New England. The man is funny. He has a sense of humor. Good for him. Unless you're a Raider fan.
Yeah. No, definitely his social media accounts have taken a big step up since leaving New England. I guess this is a tough one. I guess I will say reality. I am surprised at this point that he hasn't made a decision, because I guess the one thing that I do disagree with you, George, is that even if Gronkowski said he is coming back, they would let him skip all of this stuff, these OTAs and things like that. I think that they genuinely would. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and you're right, and that's a factor in this thing, but I don't think so. I will say that he comes back for another season. To say it's the final season would be impossible. We thought that Brady's last season was his final one. Now it's not. Now who knows? Brady could play 10 more years. I will say reality, Gronk back in Tampa and playing that game in Munich, Germany for the first time too later in the football season. All right, let's move on to a little bit more football. Some very candid comments. It's like we don't want candid comments from our athletes, George, but then when they make them, we crush them. Ryan Tannehill, who had a long, winding press conference when he reported to Nashville for these little offseason stuff with the Titans, talking about A.J. Brown and how much it hurts for him to not be there, and talking about how he's needed therapy and he's had sleepless nights since losing that game to the Cincinnati Bengals. And then, George, he was asked about Malik Willis and said that Willis, he doesn't need to be a mentor for Malik Willis. And just simply by being in the same room as Tannehill in the quarterback room, Willis will be able to learn on his own in that way. So naturally, this is getting a very poor response from everyone. Fantasy or reality, players rooting for Malik Willis to take Ryan Tannehill's job is fair. Fantasy or reality?
Now, this is rough. This is rough. Tannehill definitely comes off bad here. We've heard this before. Right? Brett Favre wanted nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Nothing to do with him. And Craig, we sort of understand it. And I mean, once again, this guy is there to take his job. That's what he's there. He's there to take your job. And you want to mentor the guy or train the guy to take your job. I mean, so I get it where it's weird. It's uncomfortable. You probably shouldn't say this out loud. You know, that right. would be my thing here. Just keep it in-house. So don't say it out loud. As for the players, is it okay for them to be rooting? To Malik Willis to take Tannehill's job is fair? Sure, I think it's fair. I don't know if they're rooting for him. Because I think they're rooting for the best quarterback. Generally, a player, you want to win, right? And the Titans are ready to win, right? It's going to be them and the Colts in that division. I don't know if I'm going to put either one up against the Buffalo Bills or everything the AFC West has done. What a crazy division that's going to be. But I think it's if I'm a player, I want to win. You know, it's a football team. Not everybody's going to like each other. You're not going to have 53 guys going, kumbaya, we're all going out to dinner. What was the old saying about the Yankees in the 70s? 25 players, 25 cabs. Because they all hated each other. You know, so I don't think you need to be friendly here. And if I'm a player, I want the best guy to win. So they might be rooting against Tannehill somewhat, but I think they also want the best guy. So I think this is reality where it's fair. It's fair if they want to root against them, but in the end, I think right. they want the best guy to win here, and I think it's going to be Tannehill. I think asking Malik Willis to take this job this season is asking a lot, but he is the future here, but I think it's more next year, maybe even the year after that.
Yeah, and who knows if he's even the future. Look, Jordan Love was supposed to be the future with Aaron Rodgers. No one knows if he is there as well. However the players want to do this, if they want to root for somebody else to be a starter, I think it's fine. Tannehill, without a doubt, gives the Titans the best chance to win this year. I do not think Malik Willis is ready. And George, you brought up a really good point, too, and I'd like to expand upon that. Ryan Tannehill is not 40 years old or 39, you know? Like, he's still probably got some football left. And he probably still feels he's got some football left. And essentially, by him saying, yeah, I'm going to mentor the next guy, is basically indicating that his career is coming to an end. So I'm actually okay with Ryan Tannehill doing what he did here. I mean, Tannehill had to earn every ounce of playing time he got, George. He was basically discarded by the Miami Dolphins. They thought he couldn't even play. I mean, he got a one-year deal with Tennessee. He made the most of it. He was, I believe, the NFL's highest-rated passer for a season, too. And so Tannehill is basically like, hey, like, don't count me out. I had the worst game of my life last game I played, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm going to help this guy take my job. I'm okay with that. A different story, George, would be Tom Brady saying he's not a mentor at this stage of his career. Or maybe Drew Brees, who just retired. Or Philip Rivers, who just retired. For those guys to say it, you have to be like, okay, come on. Like, you've accomplished everything. You're being selfish. But selfishly speaking, for Tannehill, guy's still trying to win. And if it's not going to be in Tennessee, some other team next year, George, is absolutely going to have Ryan Tannehill as their starting quarterback. I mean, mark it down right now. Pick one of the bottom 10 teams in the NFL. They'll take him right now to start. So, yeah, players rooting for Malik Willis, fine, but also fine with the comments from Tannehill. I got no problem with that. All right, let's close it out with some more NFL. Three things in the NFL day. Wow, how about that? NFL Draft 2023. Are we serious here? All of a sudden, the mocks are already coming out. George Kurtz on this show makes the comment, Todd McShay's got 5 quarterbacks in the first 9 picks as potential first-round picks next season. Is it too early, though, George, for this? We've got the hockey playoffs. We've got the basketball playoffs. We've got baseball. We've got golf. We've got soccer. World Cup is coming, too. Is it too early to publish 2023 NFL mock drafts? It is fantasy or reality. It is too early.
It's the power of the NFL, man. We just want to talk football. I mean, think about it. What's the old joke of the NFL? The ratings were off the charts. You mentioned sports, great. We did a great job last week. Everybody's doing work in the NFL here. All it is someone reading a list of names. That's all this is. And it goes bananas. Next Thursday, this Thursday, actually, the NFL schedule comes out. We already know who's playing who. and where. We just don't know when and what day. Yet this that'll go off the charts too here. It's the NFL. If they want to read you cooking recipes, people are going to watch. So is it too early? In reality, yeah, but no, because people are going to watch. People want to hear about it. But of course it's too early. We haven't even seen the season yet. Forget the fact that they have other things going on, even NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, everything else is going on here. We haven't even seen games yet. People are going to get hurt. Things are going to change here. What do team needs? How do you know who's going to finish where? I mean, I think in McShay, he's actually got guys going to teams. You know, well, Giants are going to pick some quarterback at 8. How do you know Giants going to have the 8th-round pick? You have no idea. Hell, I think they're a lot better than the 8th-round pick, actually. So, you know, it's just, of course, it's too early. But that being said, I watched. You know, I was interested. So, yeah, of course it's too early. But we're still watching, so it's going to happen over and over again.
Yeah, like this comes down to me. This is a fantasy for me. I don't think it is too early because I think that this is a job for people. It's a career for people. And I guess the only thing that I could compare it to is one of the things that I do on the side is cover Major League Baseball. And there's winter meetings and there's off-season activity. And look, baseball does not have nearly the same cachet that the NFL does. And as far as free agency goes, I would say, you know, NBA is up there too. And I'm a baseball guy year round. There are football people that do this year round. Davis is one of the guys who does it here, who just basically could talk football 24/7. And so, George, I think you pretty much laid it out. Like, don't knock the hustle. If this is the gig and the gig is putting out mock drafts for you and this is what you follow, then have at it. It ain't for me, but it could be for a lot of people. So I'm not going to knock something that somebody else likes to do. And listen, it gives us content here on the show. It just killed about 2 minutes of time here on this show too, before we get out of here on this Friday, not to mention. So let's take our final time out here on the show on this Friday. And then when we come back, we've got the Sports Grid 60. It's going to be something very negative, probably from George Kurtz. So of course you'll want to catch that. And then coming up today at 2 o'clock Eastern on Newswire, we'll have a preview of the 2 NBA games tonight, as well as a full preview of the Stanley Cup games coming up this weekend. That's up next here on Fantasy Sports Today and here on Sports Grid. So with that, we will take a quick time out. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, George Kurtz on a rant about something going on that may have absolutely nothing to do with sports, but it will be entertaining, I assure you. We'll have it next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, and a rain out tonight in the Bronx, so no Yankees game this evening. And by the way, for those of you who are going to get your Yoda bobblehead, they've rescheduled that to May 25th, so we'll have to make sure that George knows that for the next time that he goes. Let's see what's on George's mind today as we close out the show. Here is the Sports Grid 60.
I'm going to stay with the Yankees here. By the way, that Yankee game tomorrow, not looking so good either. By the way, the weather is worse tomorrow. They're thinking now the common day off on Monday could be in play here. Doubleheader Sunday, and they'll play Monday as well to make up the 3-game series. But what I'm going to complain about, Mr. Mish, is that Memorial Day is in a couple of weeks, right? May 30th, a little bit after Yoda Day. And the Yankees don't play. They're not scheduled. July 4th, Yankees don't play. Not scheduled. How are you not scheduled to play on Memorial Day and July 4th? This is baseball. Those should be automatic days where everybody plays. All right? Everybody's playing a game. And what did Ernie Banks say? Hey, let's play too. All right? You're not playing a doubleheader on those days. It just frustrates me that those days, July 4th, Memorial Day, national holidays, we're all going to be barbecuing, having a good time. No Yankee baseball. So I'm not happy about this, Mr. Mish.
Understood, for sure. I'm not good about the weather either. Sad to see that. Royce Lewis called up today by the Minnesota Twins. The reason why is because Carlos Correa looks like he is injured and potentially could go on the injured list. And Correa, who signed a 3-year deal with the Minnesota Twins, has an opt-out after this season. And it just goes to show you about these opt-outs that are created for different players. Sometimes they work for you, sometimes they work against you. I suppose in this case, probably with maybe more missed time for Correa, he would not opt out after the season and just accept his contract. Kind of funny how that happens in sports, where it works for some and it does not for others. And I guess we will judge that at the end of this year. That'll do it for our show. Thanks to Gray Albright for coming on. Thanks to Parker over at LTN and Danny and Ryan on the graphics. And for my producer, Brett Levy, and co-host George Kurtz, I'm Craig Mish. Have a great day. See you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for New Time.